Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 12:03 back on the fan. BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, as we drop the top story on you with the crown. Aaron Judge is the greatest New York athlete that I've ever seen. And depending upon how old you are, you know, who you date back to, you know, I didn't see Frazier, didn't see Reed, didn't see prime Tom Seaver, did see Reggie at the end, did see Leach, did see Mess, did see Ewing, did see Lawrence Taylor. Doesn't matter. I mean, what Aaron Judge is doing right now, it's absolutely insane. And it's really, for me, it's incomparable. And, you know, I can inundate you with numbers. I won't, even though I did give you a couple in the first hour just to back up that statement. But, Sal, you flip on the tube. And, yeah, Soto's part of the show as well. He's been amazing. But Aaron Judge is not only incredible, he's getting better, he's evolving as a player, he is just great.
Yeah, I've said this a while ago, that he's the best player I've ever seen, best baseball player that I've ever seen in my life, surpassing Barry Bonds, and obviously Judge doing it cleanly, where Bonds, a majority of his career, at least the back half, he didn't. It's remarkable, BT, when you're watching Judge on a night-in, night-out basis, and I know we talked about Soto yesterday, it really is the combination, but just today it's about Judge after hitting home run number 300 last night. You know, the fact that he's been able to stay healthy this year, the fact that he plays the outfield and plays center field, it almost gets overlooked because he's doing it on a daily basis, whereas if he got hurt, it'd be like, oh, well, he's in the outfield, he got hurt, or he gets hurt again. But when he's going about his business and dominating the sport, I mean, he's not just a power hitter. The guy's hitting for an incredibly high average. He's driving in runs. He takes his walk. Like, there's nothing he can't do or isn't doing. And if a pitcher makes a mistake, and it's why I said you got to be out of your mind to actually pitch to him. If you make a mistake or you throw him a pitch that's near the strike zone and he swings at it, he's going to hammer it. I mean, Aaron, there's only one thing left for Aaron Judge to do, and that's win a World Series. I mean, he has not performed in the postseason the way that he has in the regular season throughout the course of his career. That could change. And by the way, even if it doesn't change, as long as the Yankees win as a team, he still gets credit for that. That's fine. But there's only one thing left to do, and that is win a World Series. But Judge is just unbelievably great at what he does. It is remarkable to win this on a night in, night out basis.
And he's humble. He is humble. He is zero maintenance. Like, he's always got a smile on his face post game, always deflects when it's, you know, when the praise is heaped upon him. He's so gracious. No, it's Soto. No, it's this. No, and listen, what does 300 mean? Well, it means more because we won. And, like, sometimes you just kind of rotely answer those things. Like, I think Derek Jeter did that a lot. I feel, and I'm not saying Derek didn't mean it, but it doesn't come across as even remotely insincere, even when he says that he thinks that Soto's better.
Right.
Which I don't think that Soto's better.
Yeah, and I don't know.
He says it, though.
Yeah, I don't know. And he's saying that to be a good teammate, and I'm assuming he doesn't believe it. But, I mean, Soto is great. He said the other day, oh, he's the best hitter in the game. Yeah, Soto's great, but, I mean, Judge is just...
Not Judge.
They're both really unbelievable, and it's great to have them having as much fun and talking each other up as much as they do, which is why the Yankees need to keep Soto here a long time. I know we get into that a little bit. Can they, you know, pay Soto more than Judge, but they're going to keep him. I don't know if I would go as far as to say he's the greatest New York athlete that I've ever seen in my life. It's hard to compare all of them. I know why you're saying that, but if I say he's the best baseball player I've ever seen, you know, is Ewing the best basketball player I've ever seen? No.
I'd say who is.
Yeah.
I'll give you one off the radar. Probably Jason Kidd with the Nets.
What? That could be one of the better New
that
York
I've
athletes?
Ever. I think Jason Kidd's the best New York, New Jersey basketball player that I've ever seen.
Well, I'm just
Carmelo
saying.
Wasn't
I'm saying,
better than him.
I'm saying overall. I'm not saying New York, because if I just say New York, then I can say Patrick. I think you could have him in the conversation. I think Kidd is a great one, but I'm saying in the sport. Like, Judge to me is the best player that I've seen in my life, and I'm 44 years old, so it goes back a long time.
Yep.
We go back to the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010. Judge, the best baseball player I've ever seen. I can't say that about Patrick Ewing. I wouldn't say that about Jason Kidd. You maybe could think about it with Lundqvist or Brodeur, as you brought up before. Certainly LT. So that does hold then merit to what you're saying, greatest New York sports athlete. I guess for me, you'd have to have that championship to be considered that. We even talked about him before. Is he even the greatest Yankee? He's the best baseball player I've ever seen, but is he the greatest Yankee? No, to me, Jeter is. Or you want to have Mo in that conversation because they won. So when I think of New York sports athletes and being great, ultimately, it's a combination of being a top performer in the sport and delivering a championship.
888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the Fan. Back to these calls in a second, but I have a follow-up question for you, Sal,
yeah,
based on the premise you just established, which I get. So let's just push this forward a bit. Let's say Judge never wins a World Series, and he hits the benchmarks, 500-whatever home runs, and statistically he's doing what he's doing, and he wins, say, finishes with 3 or 4 MVPs. Who do you hold in higher regard? Eli Manning with 2 Super Bowls, Joe Namath, mm-hmm, who won Super Bowl 3 for the Jets, and Jets haven't won since, or Judge, who has all the numbers and is amazing, but didn't win.
Well, when you say higher regard, what do you mean? Like,
what do I value more? Yeah, your interpretation.
I'd probably take the championships.
I gotta take Judge.
I would take the championships while acknowledging Judge is the better player. Like, nobody would take that away. You know, he's the best. Yeah, same thing with, well, I mean, maybe not the same thing, but you make these conversations, and this would make sports talk fun. You know, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. I've always felt Peyton Manning was an actual better quarterback.
Me too.
Year in, year out. But Brady is considered the greatest of all time because he won the most.
Mm-hmm.
And he was great too, but that combined with winning makes him the GOAT. While I would say pound for pound, you know, one game or one full season, I could easily argue that you'd rather have Peyton Manning over Tom Brady. You know, because winning could be a part of the coach or the team or whatever. But valuing winning, especially here in New York, I think that that means more. Like, I don't look at Mike Trout as being an all-time great, although his numbers would say he is.
Yeah.
Okay, but what did he win? Like, nothing. Did he do it on a big stage?
No, but for me, baseball, and I hear you, but baseball is the one sport. I don't want to say you get a pass, but it's, to me, it's a different interpretation. Like, if you're a great NBA player, I mean great, and, you know, you can't will your team at some point to the finals, at least get there, or maybe win one, when you're taking 20 shots a game and represent 20% of the people on the court, and your usage rate is whatever percent it is, like, it's harder. Quarterbacks, do you have one or two? That's why Rodgers needs another, not just for Jet fans to finally win, but for his own personal legacy.
But here's why, like, to answer your question before, let's say Judge had three, what would you say, 5 MVPs, 3 MVPs?
3 or 4.
I mean, 500 listen, homers.
He's going to get 2 this right. year. He should have 3. Okay. Maybe he gets another 1, 3 or 4.
Let's say he's get 3 or 4 MVPs,
yep,
500 homers, all the individual accolades and stats, no World Series ring.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather take his career or Derek Jeter's?
Jeter.
Me too. And that's kind of why, same thing with like Eli. Obviously,
I didn't ask you about Jeter. Yeah, like, well, to me, now if you ask me about Eli,
you still take Eli.
2 Super Bowls
is
tough.
That's what I mean. Or Messier, the 1 Stanley Cup. Like, you know, if Ewing won the championship, I know it's a big if, but if he did, you'd be putting him on that level.
Yeah.
And I almost do anyway because he got so damn close and was really doing it by himself for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And all due respect, and I love those guys, stars.
I got you.
You know, he didn't have that They've second
had another
star.
Yeah. Like a real one.
Yeah, exactly. But Messier is a sports god.
Yeah, he is.
Eli won 2 Super Bowls. That's sports god status even without being a dominant regular season player statistically. Same thing with Jeter. Like, okay, people laugh at Jeter or joke. A-Rod used to do it back in the day. Oh, come on, you know.
Yeah. You don't play the Yankees and worry about Jeter beating you.
Okay. Yeah, how'd that work out? Right? Like, think about it. So I'd rather take Jeter's career. That's why winning is so important.
Jeter also has the benchmark hits. He's got like 3,500 hits.
Understood. But in this case, we were painting a hypothetical where Judge does all those things.
Maybe a better example is this. Would you rather have Judge or Tino's career?
Yeah, 100%. Well, I shouldn't say 100%.
Or like a lesser player than Jeter, because Jeter's got
it all. How
about
O'Neal?
That's a good one.
I'd probably still rather have... I mean, if it's me individually, I feel like I'd want to win, but you're talking about all-time great versus good player that won. I think the memories of winning a championship mean more maybe than winning an MVP, but wouldn't you want to be one of the best ever?
I would, and I don't think that's selfish to say that. I love O'Neal.
Right,
I love him. 3-hitter. I love his intensity. But you can have 1,000 discussions about Paul O'Neill. No disrespect. He's never going to be one of the top 20 Yankees.
Right.
You know, Aaron Judge might jump over. I don't know if he's going to jump over to DiMaggio or Berra with all the championships.
Right.
Those names are just so almost impossible, but you never know.
But he's among them now.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating conversation or question. Point is, he's the greatest baseball player I've ever seen, and he's certainly in the argument for, if not the greatest New York sports athlete. But I also think just to cement his legacy in this town and with that team forever, you've got to get at least one.
You imagine if not only he has that moment, but it's like a walk-off home run, not only does he win a World Series, but he wins maybe not Joe Carter walk-off game seven, but a moment that is signature, whether Reggie with the three bombs or something nuts. Oh my God.
Let's forget about Yankee history.
Yep.
Who was the best individual Yankee talent that you've seen in your lifetime?
Talent?
Yes.
A-Rod.
Okay. Now, I know why you would say that, and I think that it might be accurate to some, but he's also extremely tainted.
For sure.
And
so you want to ask me who's number two?
No, but even he didn't have that. I know that some people say, A-Rod had his moments in 2009. It wasn't the same. He's nowhere near the level of what Judge is.
Look at a couple of his years with the stats.
No, I mean as far as the Yankees. I'm talking about as far as it means to the Yankee fan.
To the Yankee fan.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Because we're talking about Judge. You're saying imagine he has that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, who has? Like, Jeter was a great Yankee who had many moments in the postseason, but those were teams that were built without a superstar.
Yep.
And, Mattingly would probably come to mind for me where he was the great individual talent, but obviously didn't get to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I know he got there in 95, didn't win the World Series. So Judge has a chance to do both, which I guess outside of A-Rod, but even for me, A-Rod doesn't strike that chord. Wasn't a longtime Yankee, wasn't a homegrown Yankee. Yeah, he put up the numbers, but he was tainted.
Yeah, but just keep in mind the question that how you framed it.
Yeah.
The most talented Yankee that I've ever seen is A-Rod.
And do you think
A-Rod... Is he my favorite? No, not even close.
No, but do you think A-Rod then achieved what you hope Judge could achieve by having that moment in the postseason and feeling like, would it feel to that level?
I didn't look at it that way. Interesting in the fact that Alex had more opportunities to succeed and failed.
Right.
Whereas... and he had better players around them. You had a switch hitting first baseman who could hit.
And he joined the dynasty.
Posada. Yeah. You had Sheffield. He had players. Yeah. He had studs. And, Aaron Judge been playing with a bunch of C-listers for the most part. Let's be honest.
Right. Well, now he
had a poorly constructed roster outside of Soto.
DJ
a couple of years ago.
Garrett Cole has got Soto.
That's the end of the list.
Understood.
So I would say that... I think the tougher question for me would be who's the second most talented Yankee, that I've ever seen. And I don't even know, is it Jeter?
More so than Mattingly?
Talent's an interesting word. Like, Mattingly was a byproduct of almost overachievement.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can answer that question.
Well, but the point is Judge surpasses everybody now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and
everybody.
And he hasn't had that moment in the postseason yet. So for me, I feel like it would be even greater if it happens for him, where in the 90s you had the dynasty of a team. Yes, Jeter was the leader and the captain and had great moments. Other guys had great moments, but they were not the caliber player that Judge is. So you'd be combining... A caliber player like Babe Ruth or Mickey Mantle to winning a World Series with the Yankees, which I think would even, to me, mean a lot more than A-Rod.
We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Frank's in Kings Point. Frank, what's going on?
Guys, great show. Thank you for taking the call.
You got it.
Couple of things, guys. Greatness in baseball especially is measured in the postseason. That's why when people say, well, who's better, Mantle or Mays? Mays was crap in the postseason. Mantle blows him away.
Hmm.
All right?
It's true.
Want to see Judge do it in the postseason. Okay? Like what Reggie did. You guys talked about who's the most talented Yankee. Well, how about when the lights are on? Okay?
Yeah.
And it really matters. That's when it matters, guys. Now, with that being said, I'm going to give you three right-handed hitters. You tell me if Judge is better or the guy I mentioned is better. Hank Aaron.
Who's the first one?
Hank Aaron.
It's still Hank. It's Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron better.
Okay. All right. Manny Ramirez.
I'll take Judge.
Yeah, and Ramirez was a cheat.
Yep.
Okay. And I'll give you one more who I think this guy's better.
What? Pujols? Miggy? Who?
Albert Bell. Albert Bell.
Get Albert, out of Albert here. Bell. No, if you said come Albert on. Pujols, we could discuss it.
Come on.
Now, we laugh him off, but I mean, Albert Bell.
Yeah, but he,
for
was,
five
he was another
years.
One.
No, we don't know that he was on steroids.
Oh, come on.
We don't, that's never. He
look
was never
at
on
him.
A, and you're
I
never
like
on a list.
I like Albert Bell.
Yeah, me too. All he right. was a big boy at LSU, too. Albert Bell, I don't know for sure.
You want me to pull up Manny and you pull up Bell or vice versa? Or just I got Manny here.
All right, then I'll get Bell. I mean, Albert Bell had 5 years where it was ridiculous.
But again, how do we, and I liked Albert Bell. I like that bad attitude. Him pointing to, you know, making the muscle and pointing to his bicep.
Yeah.
But the corked bat, maybe that's what I was thinking.
And Albert Bell, Sal, it was the strike shortened year, but in 1994.
Yeah.
Hit 357.
Yeah. How many homers?
In 106 games, he had 36.
What was his career high in home runs?
Career high was 50. And then he had 48. Then he had 49.
Yeah, but again.
38.
Again, steroid era.
Yeah, no, like, no. OPS, he was over 1,000 four times.
And also, the conversation. The conversation is.
Four. He was over 1,000 four times with his OPS.
Yeah, the conversation to us.
Pretty good.
For me is he's the best baseball player I've ever seen in my life with Judge.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about other great right-handed hitters? I guess you could bring them up. Albert Bell or Joey Bell, they never...
No, I know.
He never registered in that...
Me neither, but I'm just reacting to the call. You want to say Pujols, you want to say Miguel Cabrera, you want to say Jimmy Fox.
You want to throw Jeff Bagwell in there, too? Look at his numbers.
Yeah.
How many years he was dominant.
You know, Sal, I didn't even realize Albert Bell had three top three MVP finishes. Three of them.
What years?
And that was in 94, 95, and 96.
Yeah. With Baltimore? When did he leave?
Cleveland.
When did he leave Cleveland?
His last year with Cleveland was after the 96 season.
And he went to Baltimore?
No, he went to the White Sox.
Oh,
and then he went to Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then he went to and then remember he had the bad hip and...
Yeah.
He was amazing,
he was a great player.
My
I mean...
Goodness.
Or a great hitter. Was he a better player than Judge? Was he better than Judge? I don't remember.
No, definitely not. No way.
Yeah, and Manny Ramirez was also a great hitter. And at the time, many viewed him as the best right-handed hitter.
Of all time.
That we'd seen.
Maybe Jimmy Fox.
I mean, Ramirez has a career 312 batting average.
Yeah.
He's got 555 home runs. Like, at least Manny, to me. How many career home runs Bell have? You have it up there? At least Manny's in that
381.
Conference. Yeah.
I know.
Come on, we're talking about career-wise.
Yeah.
You could pick out individual seasons or a shortened period. And I still think Judge is better even than Manny. I'm sorry.
All right, I got one for you since we're talking about righty hitters. You start a team tomorrow, right? They're all 25 years of age. You taking Judge, you taking Pujols, or you taking Miggy Cabrera? Or Manny. I'm going to give you four. Pujols, Miggy, Judge, and who was the other one? I'm sorry.
Manny.
And there you go, and Manny.
I'm still taking Judge. He's the best player of those guys.
Pujols, Manny, Miggy.
Right, and Judge.
I'm taking Judge, too.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking about best player.
I hear you.
Now, you want to say individual season? Like, did Miguel Cabrera have a better individual? I mean, still, Judge is putting up all-time historic seasons as well.
That's right.
And he's a better player.
He was faster than Pujols. He was faster than Manny. He was faster than Mickey. And he was faster than everybody, than all those guys.
He plays the outfield. He plays it at a high caliber.
Yeah, he's got a rocket. You know, Pujols could pick it at first, but he was slow-footed. Manny was, half aloof in the outfield.
I got to be honest with you, too, and I'm not trying to accuse anybody, but anyone who played during that era, to me, I think twice about. Like, the way Pujols dominated, and he was dominant, For as much as he did, I don't know what to believe. I believe Judge is clean.
Me
so
too.
That's an aspect of it as well.
I agree.
Manny! Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets to see the Bombers take on Colorado at the stadium coming up on Friday, August 23rd. Right now, we'll do call the number 10, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. It's a chance to win And it's, of course, it is the official sub sandwich shop, Jersey Mike's, our friends over there, of the New York Yankees Box Office Blitz. And the Fan, make sure you listen again tomorrow, another shot right here, about 12:25 or so, BT and Sal. Tomorrow, we will be at the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center and hope to see a lot of you. That is going to be a lot of fun.
Did you see the video that has been circulating on social media?
I did. The whole layout, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it looks just a
sick.
Little taste of the setup.
Yeah.
Looks, dude, it is going to be insane.
Yep.
I cannot wait to go and experience it. I have no idea what it's going to be like, but a card show slash entertainment show slash
every
interactive
sport,
stuff.
Every sport represented.
Yeah.
UFC, WWE.
And I know, like, you know, the athletes are going to be there or people you want to pay to take a picture or sign with, whatever, if that's your thing. That to me is not my favorite thing about it.
Yeah,
it's everything else.
Me too. I agree with you.
I love the interactive stuff,
yeah.
The challenges that you just mentioned or the experiences you have and getting to check out different things and museums. The Hockey Hall of Fame, I think, can have an exhibit. Sports mm-hmm. Illustrated Museum.
They've got every Lombardi trophy, or they've got all the trophies, and they've got all the rings from all the Super Bowl champions.
Sick.
I think I mentioned that the other day.
So
every single ring.
Our show, other shows are going to be there doing stuff.
I don't think other shows will be there. I know Evan Atiki. I don't think any other stations will be
like
there.
Like your guy, Stephen A, is doing...
yeah, but I don't think he's doing a radio show there. He's doing a sit-down.
No, First Take. I think First Take is going to be. I don't know if Doggy's going to be there.
Oh, First Take?
I believe
so,
yeah.
Wow. I know he's doing the Q&A with Tom Brady.
Oh, okay. Maybe that
is definitely going to do. But, yeah, Steven will be out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And of the video, a little sizzle reel that they put out there, you know what caught my eye the most?
What?
Well, baseball stadium.
Oh, did I miss that?
Yeah, you didn't see the high wall, the left field wall?
Ooh.
Going up.
High left field?
Oppo Taco.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going down on the baseball
home run. With
home
you?
Run derby challenge. Yes,
I don't know if anybody in the entire Javits Center could beat me.
Yeah.
Forget about you. I mean, come
on,
man.
There are going to be some actual baseball players there. What do you mean anybody in the entire Javits Center?
I mean, anybody that pays money to... Well, yeah. I don't mean guys that actually play baseball.
Yeah.
But I mean,
oh, okay.
Like any fan that reaches in their pocket to go and watch whatever they're going to watch.
Yeah, all right.
Bring it on.
We'll
hey,
see.
You heard what Harold Reynolds... I got it on tape. You heard what Harold Reynolds said when I was...
What, nice swing?
No. His exact words were, yo, BT, nice. That's exactly what he said. After I took a bunch deep, he was pitching. I got it. It's on my Instagram.
Yeah,
he goes,
yeah.
Yo, BT, nice. That's what he said. All right, I do have the Mets lineup for you. I meant to give this to you guys earlier before we get back to the phones. Lindor, Vientos, and J.D. Martinez, 1, 2, and 3. Winker in the 4 spot. Pete, number 5. Iglesias, McNeil, Torrens, and then Bader and Quintana on the hill. First pitch, 110 on SNY. And, of course,
it's a big game.
There you go.
It's a big game.
Yeah,
I know we're
you.
Down the stretch and a lot, but this is a big one here.
You better win.
You got to keep the momentum going and try to keep pace with Atlanta for now.
I think, yeah, like, you have to win.
They do.
But you almost have to
win. You can't lose 2 out of 3. Look, then they could sweep the Marlins and still get to the 4-2, but they've got to win series here. And it is important to keep that momentum because you saw last night with the celebration, Winker with the energy. And
yeah,
Lindor
he got it going.
Yeah, so that mojo that Lindor talked about, like we have to keep our positive vibes or whatever it was, I'm paraphrasing, that is important to this team.
Yep.
They need to keep that going and get back rolling in the positive direction and hope that carries them over Atlanta.
Let's go to Waterbury, Connecticut. What's happening, Jason? You're on the Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, do me a favor, please. Just let me tell you about this real quick for a minute. Now, I know what you're saying about Judge, but listen, first of all, we're going to throw other sports about. He's not even in Lawrence Taylor, the same sentence as Lawrence Taylor. Number two, he's not Bonds. He's not Griffey Jr. Bowen Field, guys, down to the left for the book bags at the field, all right?
What are you doing?
I'm at work. I'm at work, guys. My bad.
No, it's all right. What are you cutting the fields? Fields?
Never talk. No. I'm in water on New Haven where I work out.
I got you.
And then right-handed hitters, Ramirez. I don't care what you guys think. You know what? When you talk about Ramirez and Bell, you guys can't take that whole era. They're two of the most feared hitters this game's ever seen.
Yep.
Ramirez is the most pure right-handed hitter mm-hmm. ever been.
And he's not pure. He's not pure at all, actually.
Listen, there's nobody better than Griffey or Bonds. There's nobody. I don't
cheater.
Even know how you guys can put Judge in the same spot.
He's better. Well, what do you mean? That's our opinion.
You ain't not better than those guys.
Why not, Griffey
Jr. hit 56 home runs. He's over 150.
And Judge hit 62 a couple years ago.
There's no way. Barry Bonds hit
70 home runs.
Yeah, on the juice.
Jason. Won an MVP.
On the juice.
He had 38 at the All-Star break before the strike. He had 38 at the break when the strike happened, Bonds. He had 38 in San Francisco.
So, Jason, Jay, hold on a sec. Jay, hold on.
Lawrence Taylor.
Jason.
Well, LT.
Yeah, LT's different. LT's a little different.
That's your best
argument.
Jay,
the base. Jay, be quiet, dude. Enough. The guys. Relax, dude.
He was poking, poking, finally got you. Yeah.
I mean, come on. I want to have an exchange, but you got to shut up.
Oh, man.
For a second. So, Lawrence Taylor's separate.
Yes.
Okay. That, I can completely see that.
Right.
That is worthy of debatable. But what Jason's telling us is that he's okay with cheaters. And that's fine. I'm not going to land base him for that. You know, I said these guys should be in the Hall of Fame, but you got to add context to their accomplishments. Barry Bonds had 38 home runs at the All-Star break. Great. How many horse pills did he ingest to get there? How many times did he poke his ass with a needle to get there? I don't know the answer, but I know that it assisted him in getting to the 38.
And by the way, I've said forever, until this year, that Barry Bonds is the best baseball player that I've ever seen. BT still says that Griffey Jr.
Yes.
Best baseball player that he's ever seen. So we're not dismissing those guys. I'm saying that in my mind, Judge has surpassed what I once thought Barry Bonds to be the best player that I've ever seen. Steroids or not, I think Judge is better than that because I am going to deduct some points from Bonds because when he hit 73 and when he started to go nuts, it was because he cheated. Judge hit 62 legitimately. And if you watch him on a nightly basis, it is similar to what Bonds did in his best year as a cheater, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But you couldn't pitch to him because if you threw him a strike, he was going to mash it. That's what Judge is doing on a nightly basis. Oh, by the way, doing it in New York. And by the way, Judge is a better fielder and a better leader. And all of those things we're talking about. It's not just a right-handed hitter or Bonds versus Judge offensively. All things considered. To me, Judge is the best baseball player I've ever seen. I do think his best argument was Lawrence Taylor, though.
I'm with you on the LT stuff. That is one, you know, LT, because you start talking about, like, all right, no, greatest football players of all time, whether you want to say Montana, whether you want to say Tom Brady, you want to say Ronnie, Lawrence Taylor, Jerry Rice.
Right.
Like, it's a
Reggie
short,
White. Like,
Reggie White's right, on LT, that short list. Jim Brown, of course.
LT changed the game.
There's no doubt.
And if we even just talk about not of all time, but our, you know, watching in our generation.
Mm-hmm.
LT was a winner.
Yeah.
He was a dominant player. Guy changed the game, bested his position, all those different things. I could easily see how you would take him over Judge.
Let me get Chris and Ron Conklin. But Chris, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
now,
Chris.
You guys are having a little discussion about who's the second most talented Yankee that you ever seen. I'm going to give you two Hall of Famers, and you're forgetting. Everybody forgets these guys. And one's Dave Winfield, and a lot of talent Hall of Fame, right? And
yeah.
The second is Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson is the most underrated base. He is the. If you look at his stats, even when he was with the Yankees, he was great. And if you had to pick an all-time team, everybody would pick Ricky Henderson leading off.
Yep.
Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. You
he
know,
has
Chris.
More talent than Derek Jeter, than A-Rod. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Even Dave Winfield. Right, guys?
I got to tell you, Chris. Those two names. Now, again, this is not. It's a little bit of an extension of the conversation. I appreciate the input there because I think, you know, it's smart to bring those names up. Now, we brought Winfield up. Ricky, Sal asked me an hour or so ago, who's the most talented Yankee you've ever seen besides Judge?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer was A-Rod. And then, of course, you talk about the steroids and the failures
right.
and the postseason until he finally cracked through the whole A-Rod saga and story, the A-Rod experience. You know, Ricky might be, I omitted Ricky. Like, I'm big enough to say that. Like, as I was incorporating all the names, you know, didn't see
what
the old names.
When did you win the MVP, Ricky?
He was there when Donnie won the MVP in 85.
90.
When Mattingly drove in 145 runs, Ricky was a leadoff man. There was no coincidence that Donnie's best seasons came with Ricky in front of him and Winfield behind him. Do you have Ricky's numbers in front
yeah,
of you? 90. Go to his five Yankee years. Look
okay.
at his Yankee stats.
Right.
Look, just pop them out.
Led the league in runs scored, 146.
146?
80 stolen bases. Yeah, 80 stolen bases. Following year, led the league in runs scored and stolen bases, 130 and 87.
Also had some home runs a couple of years.
24 and 28.
Yes.
Yeah. He drove in 72 and 74 out of the leadoff spot. Hit 314, then 263. I mean, he was a tremendous player.
He was insane.
Now let me, and he did win, like I said, that MVP in 90 with Oakland.
With the A's, yeah.
And oddly enough, he only had 65 stolen bases, still led the league, but like compared to...
Interesting.
I mean, he had 100, 130, 108, 80,
yeah, when did he have 130? Was that 81 or 80?
82 with 80, Oakland.
82 season, that's right.
130. In 1980, he had 100. And yeah, he would hit, I mean, close to about 20 a year, and then he started to peter off a little bit. And he played with a bunch of teams and get traded.
Padres, Mets. He played everywhere.
I don't even want to do this because.
Go ahead, just do it. It's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not accusing him.
Okay.
But a part of me, I don't know if it's the teams that he played for, the build, the fact that he or the era that he played in, and the teams that he played for, like with Oakland, mm-hmm. clearly where you know Canseco, McGuire, all that. The era that he played in. The build that he had,
yeah,
and the fact that he played as long as he did mm-hmm. to the age of 44.
Yeah, it was 44, right?
A part of me thinks
wonders.
Yes,
I know where you're getting. I look at Ricky. I don't wonder that about him.
Okay,
only like go to Google and type in.
I mean,
what was Ricky's first year? 78. When did he come up?
79.
79. Look at
20 years old in 79.
Find a picture, and Google will have it. You know, Ricky Henderson, rookie of the year.
He was skinnier then.
But look at his thighs.
Understood. I mean,
everybody was skinny. Even Aaron Judge was skinnier when he, come on.
All right, but look at, we should look at it. Like, look at Ricky in, let's say, 89 or 88, his last year with, 89, his last year with the Yankees.
Also wore Tiger uniforms back then. They did. I'm not making excuses.
Look at him then versus 2000 with the Mets.
I hear you. I just think that Ricky, like Bo Jackson, I think he was one of these rare, you know, once in a lifetime or twice in a lifetime genetic freaks. I've always looked at Ricky that way.
He was a tremendous player, one of my favorite players. I just feel
I know why you would wonder that.
Look, Google right now because I just did it.
Yeah, hold on.
Google Ricky Henderson Mets images.
Okay.
Now I saw it, and I'm going to Google Ricky Henderson. And by the way, he was good with the Mets as well. I mean, he's.
Let's see here. Also, though, here's the other thing.
He's a lot thicker with the Mets.
I mean, look at those thighs. I mean,
arms. And then, so you're seeing it with the Mets?
I'm looking at it. I said, of course.
And then just Google Ricky Henderson Yankees images.
Okay.
And you see the difference. Now, again, I'm speculating. I'm not accusing. I've always wondered that.
Wait. You tell me.
He was 41
wait
with
a
the
second.
Mets.
Dude, look at his thighs in
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I know, but look at his upper body.
He's jacked. This is with the Yankees.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But look at his upper body then with the Mets. Dude,
I just think he was a natural.
At 41.
All right.
Good God.
Yeah.
Or 40.
Do you think Bo Jackson dabbled? I don't. I mean, there are some people who are just genetically predisposed to be that are different.
Right, but Ricky changed. I feel like he changed. Like, same thing with, now Bonds maybe changed a little more.
Ricky's head never got bigger.
Yeah. I mean.
And again, I can't prove it one way or the other.
All right, how about the fact that he played for, until he's 43?
So did Julio Franco.
Yeah.
So anybody who played a long time?
Yeah, I mean,
we're going to go?
Anybody who played that long and was that effective during that era, I think, comes into question. And was that ripped? Julio Franco is a good one.
Is,
Who? Julio Franco's?
What about LeBron?
Yeah, didn't he?
No, I would, I mean.
What about LeBron? He's 40. He's young.
But he's not in the steroid era of baseball.
Still looks like a freak.
I think LeBron James is the greatest physical specimen that I've ever seen on a basketball court.
I would say along with Will Chamberlain, just seeing pictures of Will, I would probably.
I mean,
agree
I know Shaq's size and dominance.
No, I would agree with you on that.
But I'm saying LeBron to me makes the game look like it's men amongst boys,
like the combination of like speed and muscle ratio and age. I would agree with that.
Ridiculous! Yeah. Like he dominates the game like no other.
Okay, but why though? Maybe he's just predisposed genetically to be a little different.
I hope that that's the case, Rookie. I'm just telling you how I honestly have felt.
Yeah, you felt that back in the day.
Doing a little math. No. After the fact.
See, like, I never once thought that steroids, I didn't think that about
him. During the day, no, because his career ended in 2003, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think this
Well, the Mitchell report. The Mitchell report was 2003.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
But there was whispers in the 90s. Guys were all jacked up in the 90s. Okay. Caminiti and those guys.
Right. But yeah, but we didn't pay any attention to it. 98. Like in 1998, when they were breaking records, I was not thinking.
I was
at all.
Because that's when they found Androstenedione in Big Mac's locker.
Right now, remember, you're a little bit older, so maybe you were thinking more.
Yeah, and I almost took steroids, so I was thinking about it.
See, I was not, and I didn't think about it, didn't care about it, didn't know about it. I had my head in the sand, I guess. But afterward, you have to be, I know I'm naive and I want to be naive because I love those guys, but if somebody plays and is effective and is jacked into his 40s.
See, here's, I know we got a break, but here's, and this doesn't mean that this is the perfect test, but I look at it this way. If you walked into a fitness, you're at a hotel, you're on your way with the family, right? And you go into the resort's gym. Oh, wow, look, Ricky's working out, man. Look at Ricky banging away on the treadmill.
Right.
I guarantee you that Ricky Henderson looks jacked.
Bro, he stole 57 bases.
Like Herschel Walker.
Excuse me.
Like Bo Jackson, although Bo's hip prevents him from doing stuff. Herschel Walker, guys like that. Like, is Barry Bonds still ripped? No, he looks like an emaciated, 55% figure of what he once was.
It does suck because all the tainted guys ruined it for the clean guys.
Yeah.
Ricky stole 66 bases as a 39-year-old, 37 bases as a 40-year-old, and 36 bases as a 41-year-old.
Insane, but don't you think
42? He stole 25 bases. Like he'd leave the league now.
Yeah, I know. Well,
at 42 years, he's stealing bases.
But don't you think the way that you look at age 50, like if we were to bump it, or 60, how old's Ricky now?
Yeah.
If you bumped into Ricky, you don't think his quads are massive?
I don't know, maybe.
And his calves are out, or just jumping out of his leg? I do. Right. I do.
I hope. I'm just telling you how I felt. I question a lot of those guys. But he was.
Doesn't that suck that we have to even question about that stuff?
Back to the caller's point, he's right. Ricky would be in the conversation for one of the most talented players that we've seen.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Right, BT and Sal back on the Fan, 12:51. We got you till 2. Then it's Evan and Tiki coming up next. Back to the calls, 888-808-1019. A lot on Judge and a little on Soto's contract and also a little proposition. I wanted to see if I needed to amend a statement on the Mets, which I am prepared to do with a little caveat. If Alonso gets to 40 home runs, I believe he can carry them to the playoffs. And I've said for 2 months now, I don't think they're going to the playoffs. But he's got to get to 40. And it ain't going to be easy. And you still don't really agree, even if they got to 40.
Yeah,
even if he gets to 40.
Right. I don't think he's going to get to 40. But even if he did, I think it's going to be tough. Because now, to me, it's not just about the third wild card spot. Now it's about competition that has been raised in the National League wild card race. With the Padres and Diamondbacks doing what they've done. And now the Braves coming back to life. I mean, this has got to be, to me, it's discouraging to see what Atlanta's done the last three nights, beating up on the Giants. I know they have an afternoon game today, but Mets have to keep pace here. Two games back, they got to keep winning. They got to keep winning and hope somehow Atlanta falters. I don't think Atlanta's going to falter. That's the issue.
Let's get Kevin and Clark. What's going on, Kev? BT and Sal, how you doing?
Good, man. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Kev?
Hey, real quick, you guys talked earlier about if the championship matters for Judge to be considered one of the greatest, and I got to look to your old partner, BT, because I think if he had a ring, he'd be in the Hall of Fame, no question.
But I also think, it's interesting with Tiki, I also think if Tiki played another year or two, even if he didn't win the championship, he'd be in. And he still might get in.
So you think on the longevity, then?
Well, I think on the fact that for a couple of years, Tiki was one of the best players in the league.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
No doubt.
I'm a huge Blue fan, man. I agree with you completely. I think he should be in there today. But I think that the championship aura carries a lot. And that if once and if and when Judge gets it's going to definitely put him over the top.
Well, I don't think it carries as much as you would think in that regard. For example, if Eli Manning had won one Super Bowl, do you think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No.
Me neither. But because he did it twice, he is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about a championship. And contrary, like Charles Barkley, Patrick, those guys are Hall of Fame players.
Stockton, Malone.
To your point about Tiki, he might be a Hall of Fame player anyway.
Yeah, he's going to get in someday, I think.
So I don't think that the championship can enhance you if it's just on its own in that regard, as far as Hall of Fame is an individual accolade.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I think Eli Manning goes in, even though his career was pedestrian, I mean, maybe better than pedestrian.
It's fairly pedestrian.
And I love Eli, and I've been a big Eli supporter. I'm just, in comparison to guys who, you know, Matt Ryan won
Marino,
MVP.
Stop. Dan Fouts back in the day.
His brother, Peyton.
Like, Mahomes,
he did not have those numbers in the regular season to compare to the all-time greats. But he led them to two Super Bowl wins in incredible, remarkable, improbable fashion, beating Tom Brady along the way in both. So he's a Hall of Famer in my mind for those two runs alone, but I don't think it's just because of Super Bowl.
Yeah, and his touchdown to pick ratio in both of those Super Bowl runs were amazing. So it's not like he just had, you know, a big play in both games and they happened to win. Like he was, when the money was on the table, Eli was great.
Tiki Barber is the same player that he was regardless of a championship or not, right? Mm-hmm. He should either be a Hall of Fame running back or is not, regardless of that he didn't win a ring.
How about Fabio Bethpage? What's going on, bud?
What's going on, guys? So what are your thoughts on I know at some point Aaron Judge is going to have to move to first base. The sooner the better, in my opinion, because, A, you're going to have to pay Juan Soto. The outfield's backed up with Giancarlo there when he's actually going to play.
He's never going to play outfield. He's not an outfielder.
Yeah, but then you have the two kids coming up, too.
Spencer Jones is taking a big step back this year, just for the record.
Yes, of course.
Strikes out 40% of the time.
At the same time, if you move Judge to first base, it lengthens the lineup now.
Yeah.
It also you're going to need to pay minimum guys to play the outfield once you have Judge and Soto locked up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So preserve Judge's body, put him at first base. You know, he's an athlete. Bryce Harper did it. I'm sure Aaron Judge can do it.
Yep.
I just think at some point that's where the road leads to for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he doesn't have this logjam in the outfield to make other moves.
Listen, Fabio, I think that you're right. I just think that you're early with the, you know, anointing him as, it's time. No, that's going to happen.
I mean, we're years away from that, I think.
Well, years?
Yeah, at least a couple. Oh,
like
you think
two, three?
Yeah, I think so. At least. Right now, why would you move Aaron Judge? Why, you think they're going to move him to first base next year?
I don't, but okay. I don't know if it's 3 years. Well, like, if you told me 2 years, I wouldn't be stunned.
Fine, well, here's why. So then who's playing first base next year?
I don't know.
Right, but assuming you get somebody, is it going to be a one-year stopgap?
It could be Ben Rice.
Okay, but if it's Ben Rice, then you would assume that's going to happen for a few years, no?
Mm-hmm. Like, if he shows that he's, you know, worthy of holding on to it for a couple of years.
I don't know this. I'm just trying to do the math. I don't believe them. And Judge has been very effective both in the outfield and at the plate. Like, until you start to see signs, and you want to be preemptive, of course,
but
if he were banged up this year and slowing down in any regard, any way, then maybe you move him to first base or you start to think about that. Right now, he's playing as well as he's ever played before.
You don't think about being ahead of the curve, like being preemptive, proactively attacking it?
I gave you a couple of years.
Yeah. Minimum, that's not nuts. But
like I think next year for sure, outfield.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Then the following year, you think about it, see how next year goes. Mm-hmm. I'd probably still say outfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, you know, 3 years from now.
All right, yeah, three. I can get behind three. For whatever reason, it just sounded like you were making it more out. Yeah, no, that's very realistic. Now, if he's healthy, which he's been this year, maybe it's four. Maybe it's five.
Right.
If he's making things, I think it all depends on how his body holds up.
Right. But right now, I don't think that there's any thought about it because there hasn't been any need
for
it.
Well, no, he was taking ground balls at first base in camp.
Right, but it wasn't, like, legitimate. Like, well, I think that's, greasing the track or whatever you want to say eventually down the road.
Yeah.
Like, if the Yankees are trying to build a team, all right, well, let's say Spencer Jones wasn't striking out a billion times every time he gets up.
Yep, then your outfield for the next 7 years could be Soto, Dominguez, and Spencer Jones.
Boom, and then you have Judge transition to first base.
Yeah.
Like now, you could do that. But that's not the case, I don't think, because I don't think Judge probably doesn't want to do it, and the Yankees don't need to do it, and because Spencer Jones isn't really pushing him, and we don't know what's happening with Soto. So there's a lot of layers there. But if you're going to tell me that the Yankees plan to do that next year, and that's why they plan to do it, Jones, Dominguez, Soto, Judge at first base, that, like, how could you argue that that would be their better lineup, assuming Jones or Dominguez, you know, hit?
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan, 12:51. We got you till 2. Then it's Evan and Tiki coming up next. Back to the calls, 888-808-1019. A lot on Judge and a little on Soto's contract and also a little proposition. I wanted to see if I needed to amend a statement on the Mets, which I am prepared to do with a little caveat. If Alonso gets to 40 home runs, I believe he can carry them to the playoffs. And I've said for 2 months now, I don't think they're going to the playoffs. But he's got to get to 40. And it ain't going to be easy. And you still don't really agree, even if they got to 40.
Yeah,
even if he gets to 40.
Right. I don't think he's going to get to 40. But even if he did, I think it's going to be tough. Because now, to me, it's not just about the third wild card spot. Now it's about competition that has been raised in the National League wild card race. With the Padres and Diamondbacks doing what they've done. And now the Braves coming back to life. I mean, this has got to be, to me, it's discouraging to see what Atlanta's done the last 3 nights, beating up on the Giants. I know they have an afternoon game today, but Mets have to keep pace here. 2 games back, they got to keep winning. They got to keep winning and hope somehow Atlanta falters. I don't think Atlanta's going to falter. That's the issue.
Let's get Kevin and Clark. What's going on, Kev? BT and Sal, how you doing?
Good, man. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
What's
good
up, Kev?
Hey, real quick, you guys talked earlier about if the championship matters for Judge to be considered one of the greatest, and I got to look to your old partner, BT, because I think if he had a ring, he'd be in the Hall of Fame, no question.
But I also think, it's interesting with Tiki, I also think if Tiki played another year or two, even if he didn't win the championship, he'd be in. And he still might get in.
So you think on the longevity, then?
Well, I think on the fact that for a couple of years, Tiki was one of the best players in the league.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
No doubt.
You know, I'm a huge Blue fan, man. I agree with you completely. I think he should be in there today. But I think that the championship aura carries a lot. And that if once and if and when Judge gets it's going to definitely put him over the top.
Well, I don't think it carries as much as you would think in that regard. For example, if Eli Manning had won one Super Bowl, do you think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No.
Me neither. But because he did it twice, he is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about a championship. And contrary, like Charles Barkley, Patrick, those guys are Hall of Fame players.
Stockton, Malone.
To your point about Tiki, he might be a Hall of Fame player anyway.
Yeah, he's going to get in someday, right. I think.
So I don't think that the championship can enhance you if it's just on its own in that regard, as far as Hall of Fame is an individual accolade.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I think Eli Manning goes in, even though his career was pedestrian, I mean, maybe better than pedestrian.
It's fairly pedestrian.
And I love Eli, and I've been a big Eli supporter. I'm just, in comparison to guys who, you know, Matt Ryan won an MVP.
Marino, Brady, right, Dan Fouts back
right,
in the day.
His brother, Peyton. Like,
Mahomes,
he did not have those numbers in the regular season to compare to the all-time greats. But he led them to 2 Super Bowl wins in incredible, remarkable, improbable fashion,
mm-hmm.
beating Tom Brady along the way in both. So he's a Hall of Famer in my mind for those 2 runs alone, but I don't think it's just because of Super Bowl.
Yeah, and his touchdown to pick ratio in both of those Super Bowl runs were amazing. So it's not like he just had, you know, a big play in both games and they happened to win. Like he was, when the money was on the table, Eli was great.
Tiki Barber is the same player that he was regardless of a championship or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
He should
mm-hmm.
either be a Hall of Fame running back or is not, regardless of that he didn't win a ring.
How about Fabio Bethpage? What's going on, bud?
What's going on, guys? So, what are your thoughts on, I know at some point Aaron Judge is going to have to move to first base. The sooner the better, in my opinion, because A, you're going to have to pay Juan Soto. The outfield's backed up with Giancarlo there when he's actually going to play.
He's never going to play outfield. He's not an outfield.
Yeah, but then you have the 2 kids coming up, too.
Spencer Jones is taking a big step back this year, just for the record.
Yes, of course.
Strikes out 40% of the time.
At the same time, if you move Judge to first base, it lengthens the lineup now.
Yeah.
It also, you're going to need to pay minimum guys to play the outfield once you have Judge and Soto locked up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So preserve Judge's body, put him at first base. You know, he's an athlete. Bryce Harper did it. I'm sure Aaron Judge can do it.
Yep.
I just think at some point, that's where the road leads to for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just
he doesn't have this logjam in the outfield to make other moves.
Listen, Fabio,
well.
I think that you're right. I just think that you're early with the, you know, anointing him as, you know, it's time. No, that's going to happen.
I mean, we're years away from that, I think.
Well, years?
Yeah, at least a couple. Well,
like,
you think
two, three?
Yeah, I think so. At least. Right now, why would you move Aaron Judge? Why, you think they're going to move him to first base next year?
I don't, but okay. I don't know if it's 3 years. Well, like, if he told me 2 years, I wouldn't be stunned.
All right, well, here's why. So then who's playing first base next year?
I don't know.
Right, but assuming you get somebody, is it going to be a one-year stop?
It could be Ben Rice.
Okay, but if it's Ben Rice, then you would assume that's going to happen for a few years, no?
Mm-hmm. Like, if he shows that he's, you know, worthy of holding on to it for a couple years.
I don't know this. I'm just trying to do the math. I don't believe them. And Judge has been very effective both in the outfield and at the plate. Like, until you start to see signs, mm-hmm. and you want to be preemptive, of course,
yeah.
but if he were banged up this year and slowing down in any regard, any way, then maybe you move him to first base or you start to think about that. Right now, he's playing as well as he's ever played before.
You don't think about being ahead of the curve, like being preemptive, proactively attacking it?
I gave you a couple years.
Yeah. Minimum, that's not nuts. But
like, I think next year for sure, outfield.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Then the following year, you think about it, see how next year goes. Mm-hmm. I'd probably still say outfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, you know, 3 years from now.
All right, yeah, three. I can get behind three. For whatever reason, it just sounded like you were making it more out. Yeah, no, that's very realistic. Now, if he's healthy, which he's been this year, maybe it's four. Maybe it's five.
Right.
If some making things, I think it all depends on how his body holds up.
Right. But right now, I don't think that there's any thought about it because there hasn't been any need
for
it.
Well, no, he was taking ground balls at first base in camp.
Right, but it wasn't, like, legitimate. Like, well, I think that's, greasing the track or whatever you want to say eventually down the road.
Yeah.
Like, if the Yankees are trying to build a team... All right, well, let's say Spencer Jones wasn't striking out a billion times every time he gets up.
Yep, then your outfield for the next 7 years could be Soto, Dominguez, and Spencer Jones.
Boom, and then you have Judge transition to first base.
Yeah.
Like now, you could do that. But that's not the case, I don't think, because I don't think Judge probably doesn't want to do it, and the Yankees don't need to do it, and because Spencer Jones isn't really pushing him, and we don't know what's happening with Soto. So there's a lot of layers there. But if you're going to tell me that the Yankees plan to do that next year, and that's why they plan to do it, Jones, Dominguez, Soto, Judge at first base, that, like, how could you argue that that would be their better lineup, assuming Jones or Dominguez, you know, hit?
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.